Thank God the beautiful season of Advent is upon us. Once again, Happy New Year. Despite what we will increasingly see around us as we approach closer to Christmas, this season of Advent is not centered on reindeer, decorated trees, candy canes, family gatherings, and wondering what gifts you might receive. Those things aren't bad in and of themselves, but they point to the Christmas season, which begins at Christmas. It begins on Christmas Day. And so we must first prepare for Christmas with Advent. That's what Advent is all about. This is a season of great hope, of joyful expectation, of deep yearning for our Lord, not for Christmas gifts and candy canes and all that kind of stuff. And boy, don't we desperately need this right now. Oh, come, Emmanuel. So yes, Advent prepares us for the coming of Christ, not for commercial Christmas that we see all over, everywhere you look, people trying to get you to buy stuff. But let us take another step back. That's the first step. Let us take another step and recognize that Advent actually prepares us for Christ coming in numerous ways. We begin this season right where we left off last week, in ordinary time, at the end of ordinary time, preparing for the final coming of Christ when he comes to judge the earth and usher in a new heaven and a new earth. And yet again, Christ urges us today to be watchful, to be alert. He knows how easy it is for us to get off the track of conversion, this track of holy fear that we've been exploring for well over a month now. This is the path that leads to heaven. He knows how easy it is for us to get off of that track and onto the track that focuses on the idols of this world and that ultimately leads to eternal punishment, as Christ himself told us last week. If we don't stay rooted and grounded in Christ, it's so easy to get mixed up. And then right becomes wrong, up becomes down, sin becomes virtue. Things get all twisted in our heads and in our hearts. Truth becomes fiction. And the farther you go down this path, the more likely you are to get caught off guard and not have time to course correct and come back to Christ. This is why he keeps cautioning us to watch out for anything that will lead us astray. He wants us all to make it to heaven, but we must first engage in the spiritual battle for our souls that is raging at every moment, for each and every one of our souls. And Christ is willing to help us, to walk with us every step of the way. Indeed, the reason that he, the Word, became flesh, this is his first coming, the incarnation in Mary's womb, then eventually he was born, went all the way to his passion. That's his first coming. This was to help us engage in this spiritual battle and prepare for his final coming so that we'll be able to go to heaven with him when he comes. He has given us the tools to make sure that the Word becomes flesh within our hearts, and thereby becomes our guiding light, our sole refuge, our strength. And this is a middle coming. So in between his first coming, the incarnation, his final coming at the end of the world, there's this middle coming. It's beautiful. Of course, this happens through the sacraments. By virtue of baptism, he dwells within us. And through the other six sacraments, this divine presence in us is meant, it's supposed to increase and lead us to flourishing. But we have to cooperate with his grace. He's there, but we have to cooperate with him. It's easy for us to frustrate his grace, turn him down, harden our hearts. And of all the sacraments, the Eucharistic celebration is the centerpiece, God's masterpiece. At Mass, the Word is meant to become flesh in our hearts before becoming flesh on the altar, so that we can physically receive him and become more and more like him. We become the Eucharist. We become a Eucharistic people as we enter more deeply into these mysteries. As the church fathers were very fond of saying, God became man, the Word became flesh, so that man might become God. We become ever more Christ-like if we walk with him through this life. It's beautiful. The body of Christ is built up and strengthened all the more. This is precisely how we stay awake. Today's first reading from Isaiah builds upon this foundation and gives us a beautiful clinic of sorts with many additional tips on how to stay awake and ready. The prophet shows us that we must start with praise and thanksgiving. That's always our first move. And I quote, "You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. No ear has ever heard, no eye ever seen any God but you, doing such deeds for those who wait for him." Thanksgiving opens up our hearts and enables us to focus less on what we don't have, grasping for that stuff we don't have, and focus more on what he has already mercifully given us. Often we don't even realize all the gifts that he's given us because we're so focused on what we don't have. So praise and thanksgiving. Then the next move is to appeal to God with a humble and contrite heart. From Isaiah again, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not?" He's talking about holy fear. "We are sinful. All of us have become unclean people. All our good deeds like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves." Pretty good description here of what sin does to us. And if we're not upfront and brutally honest with ourselves and with God about our sins and the damage that sin does in our lives, we simply won't be able to grow in the spiritual life, and sin will reign over us. Its destroying impact will just broaden within our life, within ourselves, and within the life, our lives around us. But it also has a blinding effect to where we can't see that this is going on. Remember we said earlier, right becomes wrong, and so we begin to see and think and live as if sin is okay, when indeed it's destroying us, leading us away from the Lord, and potentially to eternal punishment. When we do bring this honesty, though, this humility, this contrite heart, then the next step, this third step, comes naturally. The recognition that only God can bring about full healing and reconciliation. And the recognition, but then a deep yearning for this to happen. Even though we know that it's not going to be easy, we're going to have to bear the cross. There's going to be transformation, and it's not always going to be fun. It's going to be difficult many times. "Return for the sake of your servants," Isaiah pleads. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, while you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as they had not heard of from of old." Today's psalmist makes a similar plea. "Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved." Since Isaiah's time, the Lord has actually rent the heavens and come down. He has wrought awesome deeds that no one could ever dream of. He has shown us his face and provided a path to salvation. Jesus Christ did this when the Word became flesh. All of that happened. That the heavens opened and rained down the just one, as we're going to hear later on in Advent. Beautiful, just like the dew that comes down. He has wrought awesome deeds that nobody could ever think of. All of his miracles, but then especially his resurrection, his ascension, the Pentecost. Wonderful. He has shown his face. He took on human flesh, and he opened up a path to salvation that wasn't there before, was closed off because of original sin. So the Lord has done all of this beautifully. Yet we have still strayed. We have still turned from him. The opposite of what the psalmist was saying. We need to turn to him. We've turned from him. We spent a lot of time trying to get him to turn to us, to do our will instead of us doing his will. Thankfully, he's still with us though. But we often have to wait. And this is the next step. Wait for his grace to work itself out within and around us. Patience and trust must always accompany our yearning, since our hearts often aren't open enough just yet to receive the transformation he wants to bring about. Walking with God is not a matter of instant gratification, but of constant preparation. I quote again, and this is on the heels, remember, Isaiah's pleading, rend the heavens and come down, work these marvelous deeds. Right after that, would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. So we want God to catch us doing the right things, allowing his grace to change us, following his will. That's when great things happen in our lives. And so lastly, the last tip that we receive from Isaiah is that we must surrender when he does act. We are the clay and you are the potter, Isaiah says. We are the work of your hands. Beautiful, that beautiful image. And we have to make sure that we get that right. Often we want to be the potter. God's the clay, right? We want to shape him into whatever kind of God that serves us. That's the wrong way. We are all the work of your hands. He's the potter, we're the clay. We have to allow him to mold us. So we need to surrender. In today's second reading, St. Paul puts the icing on the cake by further emphasizing that God has given us everything we need to succeed along this wonderful path of conversion, freedom, and peace. We just need to put it to good use. As Paul proclaims, through the grace God has bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, you have been enriched in every way with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how God isn't holding back at all. He is super abundantly generous. We are the ones holding back from him, being unwilling to receive what he offers, trying to get him to do our will, trying to get him to turn to us. And yet, we often give him the blame. He's given us everything. He's walking with us every step of the way if we allow him to, and we often blame him. But if you just welcome these gifts day in and day out, keeping Christ in the center of your life, then, just like Paul says, God will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we all want to be, right? In short, if you do this, you will be fully awake when he comes. Okay, friends, we can clearly see that the best way to live is to be alert, in intimate communion with the Lord, and therefore filled with his peace and joy. Your heart should be yearning and burning for him and the true freedom that only he brings, instead of yearning and burning for worldly things that can never satisfy and in fact end up enslaving us. We get hooked on these things and we try to get more and more and more because we think we're going to get satisfied. Never happens. Only God can truly satisfy and truly set us free. Similarly, you must cling to the Lord, not to your sins, which means you have to make sure that you're moving forward, growing in the spiritual life, not just doing the same things each day, each year, or worse, even doing less, falling farther away from the Lord. And of course, this requires us to walk the path of conversion that we've talked so much. Holy fear. You got to go to confession. You got to come regularly. You got to come to the Eucharist every Sunday. That's the bread and butter of our lives. You have to have a daily prayer life, and so on and so forth. The sacraments are essential, though. Advent is a penitential season, after all. Yet it is full of joy and hope as well. but only in order that these might lead you to conversion, which I was just talking about. That's what it's all about, is transformation in the Lord. Not transforming him to better serve you, allowing him to transform you so you can better serve him and the people. That's the true path. However, you shouldn't be fixated on your sins. That's only going to get you down. That's what Satan wants you to do. Instead, focus primarily on God and his will, and you'll naturally get rid of your sins. This is that holy fear. This is conversion. This is just what happens when we walk that path. You and me too absolutely need a Savior. It's so clear in Isaiah that you just can't do this on your own. So allow Christ to become flesh within you every day. Then go out to generously share the fruits of this amazing communion with others. What are you going to do differently this Advent? Are you going to give more money to the poor? Are you going to go out and serve your brothers and sisters? Are you going to reconcile with some long lost friends or relatives? Are you going to call people that are lonely in the Blackfeet Care Center? Things like this. How can you give more of yourself to open up your heart for transformation this Advent? That's what we have to ask. If we allow Christ to become flesh within us, he's going to lead us to do these things. So pray over this throughout the next week to see how God's calling you this Advent to change. And then, once you're doing these things, walking this path, then you will eagerly await his final coming with great joy and will enter into eternal joy when he does, in fact, return.